Well, you know, where she's leaving the country. Huh? Oh, and Jeremy, come on now, please. Jenna is going down to Saudi Arabia? Saudi. Close. She's going to go to the Saudi Arabia or go somewhere around that area. If she tells you, she have to kill you. So she's going to be gone for how long?
4 months.
So let's pray for them, pray for her. And while she's gone, Jeremy is going to keep the 3 ankle biters. That's a tour of duty itself. Let's pray for them. Heavenly Father, we lift up Jeremy and Jenna. We are asking to watch over Jenna while she's out there serving the country and protecting us from this terrorist people. And at the same time, we are asking you to watch over Jeremy and with all the children he had to take care of. Keep them safe, both of them, Lord. And bring Jenna back safe and sound to us and to her family quickly. And while she is out there, use her mightily to minister to her friends, co-workers, and comrades in arms. They may see Jesus in her. Pray this in Jesus' name. Amen. Thank you. We're going to put together a care package. Okay, she's going to leave an address with us, and we're going to put together a care package and send it to her. Is that okay with you? If that's not okay, would you stand up? I doubt you're going to stand up. Okay, and you need anything, you let us know. Okay? Matt and Karina, they're going to go to Pakistan. Come on down. Matt and Karina has been serving as a youth leader, and they felt that God is calling them to go to California. They would rather be a beach bum than desert rat. So, let's pray for them also. Heavenly Father, we lift up Matt and Karina. You go before them, and you provide everything they need, and you guide them with your strong, righteous right arm, and your will be there in their lives. We thank you for allowing us to have them while for a year, and I'm sure you're going to provide us with a great youth leader again. Pray this in Jesus' name. Amen. God bless you guys. Yeah. And I had the privilege to marry a couple, James and Lenny Pennell. Come on down, please. They successfully finished without killing each other, 6-hour premarital course. And you better stay at it good, okay? God bless you guys. Okay. I've noticed a lot of newcomers. Would you stand up, please? If this is the first time, would you stand up, please? Welcome. Thank you. You may be seated. And, okay, it's time to start to walk. Anyone don't have a Bible, would you raise your hand, please? If you don't have a Bible, raise your hand. It's okay. It's okay. Next, bring the Bible. If you don't have a Bible, this is your Bible. Keep it, please. Okay? We need one more. Anyone else? Okay, while you're at it, if you have not received our daily bread, would you raise your hand? You have not been doing the devotion, daily devotion. You need this. Keep your hands up, please. Jenna, take the several with you so you can give it to the guys when you go. Give them a whole chunk. Whole chunk. Come on. There. We have more. One up there. Mark, way up there. There we go. Okay, I'm about done. This afternoon, I'm heading out with Mark Laos, and Cassandra is going to? And I'm in Cassandra. Francisca? Where is Francisca? Oh, there she is. Are you going with us? No. Mark Laos and I and Barry Smith and Tina, we're going to go down to Nogales, Mexico, to be part of the pastors' conference. I was honored to teach there. I'm asking you to pray for me that I may speak the word of God to them, not my word. Okay? Open your Bible with me to Genesis chapter 29. While you're turning, as Jack mentioned, if you feel that God is calling you to be a part of a youth ministry, I invite you to come see me. Think about what this great ministry can do. I believe that there is a lot of challenge and a lot of reward. But it takes a commitment. Okay, so if you feel that God is calling you to be a part of the youth ministry, we have a wonderful young people. So if you feel that God is calling you, please come see me after the service. Genesis chapter 29. All right. I'm a practical joker. Being a trained in graphic design, I know about a little bit of a computer. So I can put quite a stunt on people, and they have no idea what's happening. And I use the audio and visual effect. And even including website, and I catch them quite off guard. However, there is a principle in practical joke. If I do something to somebody else, guess what? It can come back to me, right? There's the main principle is what goes around comes around. Also, there is an art of the practical joke. You're not supposed to hurt somebody or humiliate that person. You just have fun at their expense, of course. That's the funny part. Practical joke is one thing, but it's another thing, completely different thing to deceiving somebody. Some people who deceive others, they may think that, well, I got away. Eventually, those people will be deceived. I have a friend of mine who is a police officer, and he is involved with those anti-drug squad. And he told me that there's two kinds of future for the drug trafficking people, drug dealers. Either one, number one, they're going to get killed, or they're going to end up in the prison. There's no other choice, one or another, if they stay in that business. What goes around comes around. Keep that in mind. As a matter of fact, that's the title of this morning's study. For a couple of chapters ago in Genesis, we have witnessed Jacob deceive his brother and father to get what he wanted, a family blessing and a birthright. Problem is that was already designated for him. He didn't have to do that. If he just waited upon God, he would get it. But he had to get it the way he wanted. Now we are going to find Jacob being deceived by somebody who is far worse than him. He's going to enter the school of hard knocks. We'll start at the verse 1 of chapter 29, and we will pray. Heavenly Father, we thank you for your word we are about to receive. We are opening our heart and opening your Bible to receive. We're asking you to give us the wisdom to understand your principle and precept of your word. And let's not be just another knowledge on our spiritual belt, but let it be a true guidance for our lives. And we are asking you your special blessing and safety upon our uniformed people around our communities and also our troops around the country. Keep them safe. And you're willing to bring them back safe and sound. Pray this in Jesus' name. Amen. Verse 1. So Jacob went on his journey and came to the land of people of the east. And he looked and saw a well in the land. And behold, there were three flocks of sheep lying by it. For out of that well they watered the flock, and a large stone was on the well's mouth, and now all the flocks would be gathered there. They would roll the stone, and from the well's mouth water the sheep, and put the stone back in its place on the well's mouth. Now Jacob said to them, "My brother, where are you from?" And they said, "We are from Haran." Then he said to them, "Do you know the Laban, the son of Nahor?" And they said, "We know him." And so he said to them, "Is he well?" And they said, "He is well. And look, his daughter Rachel is coming with the sheep." Then he said, "Look, it is still a high day. It's not time for the cattle to be gathered together and water the sheep. And go feed them." But they said that we cannot until all the flocks gather together and they have rolled the stone from the well's mouth, then we water the sheep. In his providence, God led Jacob to this land, Haran, where Jacob can meet his uncle, Laban. However, notice that Jacob did not pray as Abraham's servant when he went on to the special mission to find the wife of Isaac. He just jumped into it. Obviously, Jacob is not as spiritual as Abraham's servant. Jacob has definitely noticed that Rachel is coming toward him, and he's a good-looking lady. So he said, "Okay, guys, go, so I can be with her alone." That's the whole idea. Now we're going to see more. Verse 9. Now, while he was still speaking with them, Rachel came with her father's sheep, and for she was a shepherdess. It came to pass, when Jacob saw Rachel, daughter of Laban, his mother's brother, and sheep of Laban, his mother's brother, and Jacob went near and rolled a stone from the well's mouth and watered the flock of Laban, his mother's brother. Then Jacob kissed Rachel and lifted up his voice and wept. Jacob told Rachel that he was her father's relative and he was Rebekah's son. So she ran and told her father. Then it came to pass that Laban came and heard the report about Jacob, his sister's son, that he ran to meet him, embraced him and kissed him, brought him to his house. So he told Laban all these things, and Laban said to him, "Surely you are my bone and my flesh." And he stayed with him for a month. Jacob knew that he came to this land, Haran, to marry one of Laban's daughter. So when he saw this good-looking lady, he wanted to show the kindness and try to impress her with his strength. So he moved the stone. What do you know? This is the first time I've noticed in the Bible about the kissing cousins, huh? I finally figured out why Jacob kissed this girl and they start to cry. You don't see it in there, but this is my guess. And she kissed her, and then I realized, "Rachel, you have way too many onions in your food. Go and brush your teeth, girl." Let's go into verse 15. And it's a corny joke, never mind. Verse 15, and the little Laban said to Jacob, "And because you are my relative, should you therefore deserve him for nothing? Serve me for nothing. Tell me, what should your wage be?" Now Laban had two daughters, and the name of the elder is Leah, and the name of the younger was Rachel. Leah's eyes were delicate. You might want to keep that in mind. But the Rachel was beautiful in form and appearance. Now Jacob loved Rachel. So he said, "I will serve you 7 years for Rachel, your younger daughter." And Laban said, "It is better that I give her to you than that I should give her to another man. Stay with me." This might sound like a nice offer from Laban to Jacob. But what he's saying is that, "Hey, boy, there's no such a thing as freeloader. You stay here for a month, so now you have to pay the wage. You're going to stay here longer, you're going to earn your wage." Jacob is not certainly a lazy person, but he's not used to with hard work, what I'm talking about. Servant, during that time, did a lot of hard work. Now, this wealthy man's son, Isaac's son, become the servant, a slave. Jacob's reaction to this situation reveals much of his character. He said, I will be your servant for 7 years. That means he's not getting one penny out of Laban. It's like a dowry. Okay. In 17 years of my Christian experience, a lot of people claim that they are servant of God. But when they were asked to do the servant work for the kingdom of God, many times they kind of look at you like, you mean I'm supposed to do that? You mean that lowly thing? For example, some of you guys know that I organized a pastor's conference for nationwide pastor's conference in Tucson, Calvary, Tucson. I have about 150 volunteers working for me for 3 days, long 3 days. Now, some of them, at the orientation time, I ask them, you come here to be a slave. I tell them, you're going to be a slave. That means you're going to clean the toilet, you're going to mop the floor, you're going to clean whatever I tell you. If you don't like it, leave. Out of 150 people, at the first year, I lost about 30 people. Because they want the title of being a servant of God. But they don't want to do the servant job. Let me put it this way. Number one, if you're a born-again Christian, you need to serve in the kingdom of God. If you don't, you are missing great blessing from God. Number two, if you choose not to serve God and doing the lowly position and like Jesus Christ did, remember what Jesus did in the upper room? He washed the feet of the disciples. That's the worst kind of job for any servant to do. If you are not willing to do the lowly job as a servant of God, don't call yourself a servant of God. Because you are not. Remember this, please. When you take the lowly position and being a servant, true servant of God, you become the highest place in the kingdom of God. You follow me? Okay, let's continue. Now, there's some dispute about this phrase I asked you to note that thing. Leah's eyes were delicate. What does it mean? Does she have delicate eyes or, you know, fragile eyes? Actually, I got to go back to the Hebrew meaning of... Anyone has a name, Leah? Good. Anyone knows the person's name, Leah? Okay. Don't say this to that person. Rachel, in the Hebrew word, is ewe lamb. Ewe lamb means a real tiny, cute lamb. However, Leah... And Hebrew meaning, this is a Hebrew meaning. This is not something I said, okay? I'm going to make it very clear. It's wild cow. That's a Hebrew meaning. So in my opinion, what I'm kind of getting is she had the delicate eyes. The people who looked at her had the kind of, ooh, that's hurting my eyes. In other words, she was not good looking like Rachel. So I'm kind of backpedaling here. Jacob's offer for 7 years being a servant is a kind of, as I said, a dowry. Dowry is, nowadays, bride's family pick up the majority of expense for the wedding. How do I know? Because I just sent one. It cost me arm and leg. That's why I don't have an extra arm and leg. But at the time, groom's family give a dowry to the bride's family. And in other words, it's a kind of, in case this marriage doesn't go well, here's the money for the compensate that. And also, you lose a family member, so you're going to lose extra income. So here's the money to compensate that too. 7 years, a very generous offer for Jacob to offer to Laban. And Laban noticed that this guy really wants my daughter. Now, we are going to see what kinds of school of hard knocks Jacob's going to enter in verse 20. So Jacob served 7 years, for Rachel. And they seemed only a few days to him because of the love he had for her. And all the ladies said, "Ah." And Jacob said to Laban, "And give me my wife, give me my wife, for my days are fulfilled, that I may go in to her. And the Laban gathered together all men of the place and made a feast. Now it came to pass in the evening, he took Leah, his daughter, and brought her to Jacob. He went in to her, and Laban gave his maid Zilpha to his daughter Leah as a maid. So it came to pass in the morning, behold, it was Leah. He said to Laban, "What is this that you have done to me? Was it not Rachel? For Rachel that I served you? Why then have you deceived me?" And Laban said, "It must not be done so in our country to give younger before the firstborn. Fulfill her week, and we will give you this one also for the service which you will serve me still another 7 years." Then Jacob did so and fulfilled her week, so that he gave him his daughter Rachel as wife also. And Laban gave his maid Bilhah to his daughter Rachel as a maid. Then Jacob went in to Rachel, and he also loved Rachel more than Leah. And he served Laban still another 7 years. In the ancient culture, before the woman going to the honeymoon suite, the woman gets veiled, so there comes a dark veil. Obviously, Jacob did not know. Another thing, that they were strictly separated during this first 7 years. Jacob and Rachel didn't spend a whole lot of time. This gives me the good principle. True love waits. Okay? True love waits. Single ladies, teenage young ladies, listen up, please. Keep your finger right there. Let's go to Colossians chapter 5, verse 19. Colossians 5, 19. Colossians is right after 2 Corinthians, right before Ephesians in New Testament. Colossians 5, 19. Are you there yet? You getting there? "Now the work of the flesh are evident, which are adultery, fornication," underline word fornication, please, "uncleanness, lewdness, idolatry, sorcery, hatred, contentions, jealousy, outburst of wrath, and selfish ambition, dissension, heresies, envy, murder, drunkenness, revelry, and the like, of which I tell you beforehand, just as I also told you in time past, that those who practice such things will not inherit the kingdom of God." What is the meaning of fornication? We get the word phoneia from a Greek word. Of course, that phoneia is the root word of a pornography. Fornication is the word for the having a sex before the marriage. There was one person, I wouldn't call him what I'm thinking. He said he's 45 years old, and it's okay for him to have a sex with his girlfriend, because fornication, having a sex before the marriage, is wrong for the teenagers only. I thought, which part of Bible do you read that? Any kinds of sex outside of marriage or before marriage is wrong. You need to, ladies, you're single or you're teenagers, you need to keep yourself pure until your marriage, no matter what happened. Because keeping your purity glorifies God. And if the boy insists, let me give you a quick cure, okay? You call up your finger like this, all right? Make a fist and smack him on his nose. It will really cure him fast, all right? Animals do not have a control over their sexual desire. They will pop. They'll do it anytime, any place. Men have a control. That's the difference between man and animal. If you want to act like an animal, don't call yourself as human. If you thought that Jacob was a deceiver, Laban is a duke of a deceiver. And he is the master of deception and the deceiver extraordinaire. We're going to find a little more. Jacob deceived his father. Now he's being deceived. This is the point I'm finding. Jacob deceived his own father to get what he wanted. Now he is being deceived by his father-in-law. Jacob deceived his father as if he's the oldest son when he's younger. Now he's being deceived by his father-in-law to when he's supposed to have a younger sister, he's getting older one. One more thing. Jacob deceives his father and as if the older son is, he wants to be look like an older son, so he put the goat hair on his hand and the back of his neck to pretend look like it. Now, remember, in following chapters, we'll find out Jacob was deceived almost identically by his own sons, who brought the coat of many color with a blood stain on it. That, of course, the coat of many color, it belongs to Joseph, his son. What goes around, comes around. Galatians 6, please. Again, Galatians chapter 6, verse 7 and 8. Galatians 6, 7 and 8. Do not be deceived. God is not mocked. For whatever man sows, he will also reap. For he who sowed to his flesh will of the flesh reap corruption. But he who sowed to the Spirit will of the Spirit reap everlasting life. This passage in Galatians is mainly, primarily written for the Christians. However, this expresses a universal law of God in every age. It's true in every area of lives. What goes around comes around. If you sow in the flesh, you will reap corruption. If you sow in the spirit, you will receive everlasting life. Example. Remember the Pharaoh during the time of Moses was born? He tried to kill a bunch of the Hebrew children. Anyone, any son, he would try to kill. Daughter, he was going to keep. What happened to him? What happened to that Pharaoh? The Pharaoh is following him. Not only his son, all the firstborn in Israel, including animals, were killed by God, death angel. Another example, King David. He committed adultery with Bathsheba and had her husband Uriah to be killed. What happened to his family? Tamar, his daughter, beautiful daughter, got raped by one of his sons. And that son also got murdered by another son. What goes around comes around. Apostle Paul. He was holding a bunch of people's cloak, other Pharisees. He was consenting stoning Stephen, the follower of Jesus Christ. Guess what happened to Apostle Paul himself? He was taken out to the outside of the city of Lystra, and he was stoned, left out to be dead. Again, what goes around comes around. What a rude awakening the Jacob had in the morning, and he just wake up and open his eyes and ah! He was having a cow. Really bad day. And he ran outside to meet his father-in-law to ask, what do you think you're doing? And Laban said, oh, you did not know. You didn't read the small fine print in the back of the contract. Don't feel bad. But you get the special, you got yourself a special deal for just for this week. 2-for-1 deal. One, buy one, get another one free. Yeah, for 7 more years, exactly. Now, he entered into the school of hard knocks, and the school dean of the school is his uncle Laban. And he's taking the major of what goes around comes around. How interesting, Jacob was hopping mad but because he was deceived by somebody else. But it was okay for him to deceive other people. Isn't that the case? Let me make an example. Palestine people. It's okay for them to go into the Jerusalem or go into the some Gaza Strip. Most of the cases, Gaza Strip, they don't go to the Jerusalem a whole lot. They go into the Gaza Strip and blow the people, Jewish people, into pieces. That's okay for them to do that. But when the Israeli people, Israeli people don't take that kind of thing just sitting in their hands. They are not like American. They go out, bomb the whole street. And then they walk around with hopping mad and jumping up and down with a casket in their hand. And of course, this liberal media in America say, oh, you poor Palestinian people. Who started first? Some of you guys know that I've been in the prison ministry. They have their own code of ethics. It's okay for them to steal other people, guards or whatever, but amongst the prison inmates, you are not supposed to steal. If somebody steals something and they get caught, they have a strict justice system, like a broken ribcage or dead. Verse 31. Now the Lord saw that Leah was unloved. He opened her womb. Rachel was barren. And so Leah conceived and bore a son, and she called his name Reuben. She said, and the Lord has surely looked on my affliction. Now therefore my husband will love me. Then she conceived again and bore a son and said, because the Lord has heard that I am unloved, he has therefore given me this son also. And she called his name Simeon. She conceived again and bore a son and said, now that this time my husband will become attached to me because I have borne him three sons. Therefore his name was called Levi. And she conceived again and bore a son and said, now I will praise the Lord. Underline, now I will praise the Lord, please. Therefore she called his name Judah. Then she stopped bearing. Leah was a sad person because she knew that her husband did not love her. Rather than being with her and loving her, he looked for the Rachel day in, day out. She became a mother of Reuben, and she was thinking, since I bore a son, which is very important in Middle East culture, she thought that she was going to have a love of her husband. She didn't. She got the second child. Note that there's a second child, third child, and fourth child. Note that in your mind, please. Second child was born in Jacob, to Jacob, and Leah, through Leah again. The name was Simeon. That means hearing. God is hearing. And now maybe I'll get the love from my husband again. However, she didn't. Obviously, Jacob is continuously having a sexual reunion with Leah, but he does not love her. In other words, Jacob is using her. This brings me another principle for the single ladies and the teenager young ladies. Listen up, please. It's been said, the man will give love to get sex. And also, at the same time, woman will give sex to get love. See the difference? Young ladies, single ladies, be careful. Tell your boyfriend that you want to remain pure until you get married. Tell him that's your decision, and if you love me, respect my decision. Hear me well, please. If he does not respect your decision and he insists that you guys should have sex, in other words, he does not respect you nor your decision. He doesn't deserve you, and you don't need that jerk. Walk away from him. Consider this word from a woman who caught the AIDS virus from the Ventura, California man. He was infected with the AIDS virus, but yet he did not tell her. This is what she said. All I want is someone to love me, and now I'm going to die for that. I don't think I should die for that. Ladies, you give your sex, that you have sex with a man before your marriage. You're the one who's missing out. You're the one who's losing. Because a lot of times, guys will say, well, that's another notch on my belt, and he will move on. He might say the different kind of thing, but a lot of times they move on. The third child was born to Jacob, and again through Leah, and his name is Levi. That means attachment. Leah still lived in the hope that the husband would love her, but it didn't happen. Fourth child was born to Jacob, again through Leah. His name is Judah, means praise. Apparently, Leah is a stop wishing that her husband love her. This time, she is turning to God and praising God. Listen carefully, please. Leah was despised. Leah was not loved. But God used Leah in his master plan. You know what I'm talking about? Out of 12 tribes, there are two main tribes. They both came from Leah. Tribe of Levi, priestly tribe, and tribe of Judah, royal tribe. Out of that tribe, our Messiah came. The one was despised, the one was not loved, used by God to bring glory to himself. A lot of times, we are unloved. A lot of times, we are despised. And we cannot find the one to love us. We cannot find the hope. We cannot find the future. Guess who found us? Guess who used us? Jesus Christ. He gave us hope. He gave us eternal life. He gave us love that no one can give us. Let's make an application. We must remember that whatever sin we commit in secret will be exposed at the worst time. Remember, folks, what goes around comes around. Go to the Numbers chapter 32, please. Numbers chapter 32. Numbers is located right before Deuteronomy, right after Leviticus and Old Testament, the first five books. Numbers chapter 32, verse 23. But if you do not sow, then take note. You have sinned against the Lord, and be sure your sin will find you out at the worst time. What's done in the secret will be shouted from the rooftop. There's no such a thing as secret. Nobody knows. Guess what? It might be secret sin in your heart, but it's a public knowledge in heaven. Let's stand up and pray.